gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, you know how I've always hated the social media?
Yes.
Now I love Twitter. You know why?
Why?
Lawrence and Donald and I have been tweeting at each other. He was yesterday we had Josh Singer on.
Yeah.
The writer from West Wing, who was a friend of Lawrence's. Lawrence was listening the whole day.
Aww.
And he tweeted yesterday, SM Show, you are the most fun a guy can have on the radio, and you made my boring friend Josh Singer sound interesting, which is a miracle. Josh Singer was fabulous, and so was Melissa Fitzgerald, his good friend who brought him in yesterday.
Right.
The writer of the new movie, the Fifth Estate.
Yes.
About Julian Assange. It was fabulous. And then I think this was my first tweet, wasn't it? This is my first actual, like, I said.
Well, you dictated to Travis, and Travis
right.
sent it out.
Right, and I said, I have one last word for Lawrence O'Donnell, dreamy.
And hair twirl.
And then I said, sigh,
yeah.
Hair twirl.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweeted back. Now, see, that now I get the Twitters like high school, now I love it. He's like passing notes in school, I get it. He tweeted back, if only I had hair to twirl. Oh, I love it so much. He's so handsome, romantic. And I was supposed to be on his show last night, but I got bumped because of other news, but hopefully I'll be on soon.
Cool.
So I can crush all over him in person.
Mm. Does he do it out of here or New York?
Mostly New York.
Okay.
Maybe sometimes here.
Oh.
Okay. They'll probably make sure that I'm on the opposite coast.
Just because you're a little...
I'm a little awkward about him.
Yeah.
All right. We have another... by the way, speaking of fabulous guests like yesterday, so today, what the... Holy... Kathleen Madigan, live in studio, coming up in about a half an hour... for the rest of the show, Suzanne Summers.
Yeah.
By the way, my Google alert went off.
What?
She's very, very chatty about sex.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Wait till Jim gets here and hears this. She has sex twice a day. She's having tons and tons of sex. She wants us all to know.
Huh.
She'll be here to talk about her new book. And then Bob Seska.
Yep.
Speaking of future husbands of the Daily Banter, will be here. But right out of the box, our good friend.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. FullFightStrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, I haven't been right out of the box since high school.
I but to see what it is there. Whee! You scampy gays. Which I love, by the way, I love one of your tweets about you said Britney Spears said gay people are hilarious and adorable. Isn't that cute?
I said, hush, Brittany. You're going to make me blush.
See how adorable you are?
Because you know she was chatting at me.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Right, right. She meant you.
Yes. And then she said, work, bitch.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I want a Bugatti. I want a Maserati. Now, these are jokes that will only apply to a very small subsection of gay culture.
Right.
So...
Carl Frisch, the shutdown, we have, as they say, fast-moving events going on in Washington. What the? What is the latest? There are a lot of Republicans now backpedaled about voting for the clean CR, right?
Right. So, you know, it was only a matter of time. And I think that when Boehner said that there wouldn't be enough votes for it, it made it a perfect opportunity to say, well, actually, there would be. And it put a bunch of people on the spot.
Yeah.
It shows the spinelessness of the Republican caucus.
Yeah.
That they will not stand up to the crazy lunatic suicide bombing fringe in their caucus.
Uh-oh. Suicide bombing. There we go. Did you get that, Newsbusters? Thanks, Carl. Drag me back into that one.
Oh, Newsbusters are going to have that in like 4 days because they're just so with it.
That is true. They were a little slow with your last one,
right?
Steph.
Yeah, I know. Come on, Newsbusters. Let's
go. Hey, wait a minute.
Carl, that's why I loved your tweet about watching the GOP today is like watching True Hollywood Story and Kids from Different Strokes. Best future they can hope for is Todd Bridges.
it's so sad.
Who I dated, by the way. There's another little fun fact for you. Just
you
once,
dated
though.
Dated Todd Bridges.
Well, maybe twice.
The Itchy Kitty?
Well, no, I think, wasn't it a setup by...
No.
No?
No, we did an event together at the Laugh Factory, and he asked me on a date to a big Halloween party, and I went.
What did you go as?
Straight. Surprise! Okay.
For everybody at home, Todd Bridges was an actor on a show called Different Strokes.
Yes. Thank you. Why, thank you, Carl. Thank you for that information.
We have some younger people in our audience who might not know.
Right, right.
And by the way, whenever you say something that you think might get picked up by the Newsbusters crew,
right,
you can just mention that story from last week about how one of their vice presidents had their home purchased by Media Research Center, their parent company,
yeah,
which might be illegal.
Right, it might be.
Because I don't think they'd put that in the transcript.
Really? Well, I guess then we'll know that this whole section will be left out of. So we can say whatever we want now.
Right.
Carl Frisch, speaking of vice presidents, waterboarding, a big joke at the Cheney roast you tweeted about. That's nothing funnier than war crimes, right?
I have a feeling Lisa Lampanelli was not leading the Cheney roast.
I don't
and
think so.
You know, when you hear, like, the people that were there, it's just like Donald Rumsfeld telling jokes. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. Should have been the lineup
like
at The Hague, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
It was not the Friars Club. It was called the Friar Club. You know, they're actually frying people there.
Yes.
Right, right. Oh, Carl Frisch, that was bad.
Get that
that was bad.
See what you did there? You made a joke.
you are why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly why. hilarious and adorable as you are. By the way, you also tweeted, I'm sure some of my friends are bigoted Supreme Court justices. They just haven't told me yet. Hashtag Scalia. yeah, how about that? That was really actually terrifying that is a sitting Supreme Court justice if you read that whole interview.
Well,
right?
I mean, if you read it with a mindset of 1995, not so scary.
Right.
But it's 2013, and he basically said, I'm sure some of my friends are homosexuals. They haven't told me that they are homosexuals. But, I'm sure that some of them are homosexuals. It makes me wonder why he's certain that some of them are gay.
Right.
What is it about them that makes him think that they might be gay? And then you start thinking that it's probably stereotypical things.
Yes.
Right. Right. Exactly. He suspects.
I don't know that if they are gay that they know much about him because, you know, his son is a Catholic priest who leads the, you know, Pray the Gay Away following in the Catholic Church.
Right.
And, you know, Scalia has been known a time or two to say some very nasty things about gay people. So, you know, if they are gay, they certainly hate themselves a lot more than they hate Justice Scalia.
Yeah. But the whole actually the part that creeped me out the most was the pages and pages of stuff about the devil. About the you know how he went into some detail about believing in the devil and what the
right.
devil's
if
up to.
Right, if you ever read an opinion from our Supreme Court and Justice Scalia's dissent uses the words El Diablo.
Right, right.
I think we're going right. to, you know, it's time to find a new justice.
Yeah,
apparently he went down to Georgia,
right.
I've heard.
Yeah, that's where he is. Carl, I go to your Twitter feed, of course, for breaking news as well. Breaking in a sign of desperation with a new poll showing him 9% behind Terry McAuliffe. Cuccinelli comes out in favor of... Jobs, which
that's right.
That is quite shocking.
He is now pro-job? It's no longer sod of me, it's sod of you. and, you know, for people that aren't following the race, usually the Virginia governor's race, goes with the party that's not in the White House. So Democratic administration, Republican governor, Republican administration, Democratic governor. And I don't think anybody would say that Terry McAuliffe has been a perfect candidate. But he's now upwards of 10 points ahead of Ken Cuccinelli, who's the state attorney general,
right.
who is positively obsessed with sex.
Yeah.
This is a
yeah.
guy who just lost his appeal to the Supreme Court to, you know, reinstate the state's, crimes against morality law here in Virginia. He's been all over, he's been all up inside of a woman's womb.
Right.
He wants to make it harder for ladies to divorce their husbands. I mean, this is a guy who's just a pervert. And,
yeah. Well, he's going to really enjoy my interview with Suzanne Summers today, who Jim loves sex, is having the best sex of her life, is having sex several times a day.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I think she better not do that in Virginia. It may be a state for lovers, but, you know, he's very concerned with what exactly the lovemaking is involved.
Well, I don't know about all that, but she is having straight sex with her husband, so, you know, maybe
he doesn't care.
Maybe
I mean,
she can be his...
About, That's the thing about the bedroom, right?
Yeah.
These right-wing nut jobs, they're not going to be stopping at the gay bedroom. They want to get inside of straight bedrooms, too, and that's why we all got to band together.
Well, I will quiz her as to exactly what kind of sex she's having, if it would count
in
Virginia.
And make sure some of those natural hormone supplements, too.
I certainly will.
And I got news for Ken Cuccinelli. Straight people engage in sodomy as well.
What? No.
Do not tell his wife.
You would think the cooch would know a thing or two about that.
And by the way, your other tweet, LA Times will not print letters to the editor denying climate change any longer.
My favorite media news in quite a long time. You often pick up a newspaper and see those kinds of stories whenever there's news about climate change. You'll see a letter to the editor with some crazy person denying climate change. It's fantastic that the LA Times has decided not to print gibberish. I mean, if somebody was denying the moon landing in letters about space exploration, would any newspaper print them?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. Can we get rid of the Yahoo commenters next, Jim? Is there any way we can get rid of the Yahoo comments
the
section?
Yahoos and the Yahoo comments section.
Exactly. All right, Carl Fresh, delightful stuff as usual.
All righty, have a good one.
All right, then. Bye-bye now. All right, we will update you on all the latest in the
hostage demands is
going on in the shutdown and the debt ceiling and the Flavin. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I understand she's not a hollowback girl.
No.
I've heard that.
No. 22 minutes after the hour. Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, on her way into the studio live. Jay Allison in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing,
Good.
Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen. I really need to get this off my chest. The Democrats are poor fighters. They need to speak up and show...
Whoa.
Where the Republicans are lying, they don't even show the videotapes of them 5 months ago talking about shutting the government down.
Yeah.
They were saying this 5 months ago, and they were on TV saying this.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, thank you. Jay, I mean, I think that I get what you're saying, but I have to say this is the one time Democrats pretty much have been united. It's the Republicans that are in disarray right now.
They're in a disarray, but they still are fooling some of these idiots that are calling in and still fighting to support the Republican Party and still trying to blame the president for shutting the government down. You know, we need to speak it more in layman terms so the ignorant can understand what actually is going on.
You know what? I love you. And I mean that in a gay and a non-gay way. All right.
But they're making hostage demands now, again.
Yeah, again. Yeah. Again. I mean,
why won't the president negotiate? We got to sit down and...
God.
Well, although there was...
By the way, though, Chris, more polling out showing, Republicans are clearly taking the lion's share of the blame for this, so good.
Yeah. Although there was some movement last night. Multiple House Republican members and GOP leadership sources say that leaders are preparing a proposal to raise the debt ceiling temporarily in order to avoid default while keeping the government shut down.
Right. But,
so that's a little bit of movement, which is a good thing, and will keep the markets.
Yeah,
but
Jim,
still
this is where
demands.
We're at. Right, this is where we're at, but that's considered, financial catastrophe,
but the
United States will still
be shut down. It will keep the worldwide markets tamped down.
Hey, remember when we were
Which is better than not.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I'm just afraid that Obama's going to cave and start giving in to their demands.
I hope not. By the way, remember we were saying terrorists couldn't think of, doing this to us? Like, they can just sit back now? Did you see this headline? Taliban mocks U.S. over government shutdown. Taliban's like, our work is done. Way to go, Republicans.
We had it coming.
Taliban militants fighting U.S. troops in Afghanistan taunted Washington over the government shutdown yesterday, accusing U.S. politicians of sucking the blood out of their own people. They issued a statement describing how U.S. institutions were paralyzed, the Statue of Liberty closed, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Republic. Thanks, Boner and Company.
Maybe they should just join the Taliban.
Yeah. Thanks. Uh-oh.
Did you get that Newsbusters?
Yes. Daily Beast reporting in on the eighth day, things got even worse. In a fast-moving series of events in Washington that saw, albeit briefly, the floating of an idea to revive a super committee to deal with the budget crisis, moderate House Republicans who've been working to find a way out of the situation actually lost support for a measure to reopen the government using a combination of Democratic and Republican votes. Yeah, the scenario appeared to be unraveling. A handful of center-right Republicans who had publicly backed a clean CR, reversing their stance, and some denying they'd ever supported it in the first place.
Wow.
Although many of them are on record. Peter King said, I have no idea where this is going. King sighed for a moment. There's no real strategy that anyone has, he said. I can't figure out a lot of Republicans who privately say how much they are opposed to all this and how we have to get out of it, and then when the time comes, they lose their nerve. One aide said the CR ship has sailed and we are getting so close to the debt ceiling, there is a sense that we might as well wait and see what we can get. Well, I'll tell you what you get.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
By the way, this is my spokesman now.
Whoa!
That's Yukon Cornelius. Also has some thoughts for you on what you get.
Nothing.
Yeah, this is where this happened, Chris. I saw this story yesterday. HuffPo, a crack appeared in the Conservatives' United Front against President Obama. I mean, trust me, they're also a major brick, congressional brick as well. A crack appeared in the Conservatives' United Front against President Obama in the budget crisis. The CEO of Heritage Action said he opposed conditioning a crucial vote to increase the government's borrowing authority on the group's main goal to funding Obamacare. He conceded that failure to raise the debt ceiling would indeed disrupt the global economy. Because it's a lot of people pointing out that this is these guys' money, too, that's involved now. And so, but it's exactly what you're saying. They're taking their orders from these ridiculous fringe groups. And,
absolutely.
So now they're saying let's keep the government shut down but raise the debt ceiling. It's just.
And the New York Times is saying the shutdown is costing $300 million per day.
Yeah. That's a Beyonce.
A Beyonce. Thanks, fiscal conservatives. Much appreciated. He said the better tactical course for Heritage and other opponents of Obama continue to focus on annual spending and on allowing the full opening of the government only if Obamacare is dismantled. So as Jim said, they're still continuing their hostage demands, but they're saying, okay, we should raise the debt limit. Matt Kibbe, who I just saw when I was at Bill Maher on Friday, head of whatever the Freedom Flavin.
Oh, the guy with the weird sideburns.
Oh, what is up with
that? I don't know.
Rick Overton and I were mocking that endlessly in the audience. What the hell? Does he need to? Oh, it's a hair. Okay. I was trying to motion to smile. Yeah. I was licking my finger. Here, let me get. Oh, you meant to do that.
Oh.
That's weird. He said the debt ceiling should be raised in order to keep the Obamacare fight focused on the continuing resolution. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary.
After Republicans agreed to leave the matches and the gasoline outside of the room and sit down and negotiate.
Representative Phil Gingrey, Republican of Georgia, said that Republicans are absolutely prepared to lose the House of Representatives in order to win their budget battle that has shut down the government. Yes! Nicely done.
So they're ready to suicide bomb themselves.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
He accused the Obama administration of missing the determination of the Republican Party. Okay. I mean, they seem to think that we will miss the opportunity for a brave heart moment to do the right thing for the American people and that we'll back down for fear of losing the House and not gaining control of the Senate. That's right. We will have the presidency, the Senate, and the House, but you will have...
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Yes, yes. Principle. Stand on it.
That makes no sense.
This comes after a bunch of polls, as I just said, that say the Democrats will retake the majority in the House. If the elections were held today.
They're dumb.
I like it.
What a bunch of gomers.
Principle, I like it. Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Go with that plan. Principle. Bye-bye, House of Representatives. 29 minutes after the hour. Kathleen Madigan next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Dude, I'm a girl. Okay, our girl parts are like a spider web. Sometimes you're going to catch stuff you don't want.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, look who's on the color TV on the Ustream. It's Kathleen Madigan.
Hello.
Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk baseball because you are a well-known Cardinals fan.
That's right.
I don't know a lot about it. Michelle Reiner emailed me yesterday, and she said the Dodgers are in the playoffs, in case you don't know, they're a baseball team.
Well, they're in the World Series now.
Right.
They were blue.
And so our social life is all screwed up because we were trying to get together. And I said, well, thank you for the information on the Dodgers being a baseball team, you say. Fascinating.
So I've heard.
Right. I'm like, and I said, well, let me know when you're done with the Stanley Cup or whatever.
When you get to drink out of it. There's no prize like that at the end of this one.
It's but just, you said the Dodgers are going to whoop your ass.
Well, I didn't want to say that because it sounds like I'm all about my Cardinals. I even found Mike Shannon on Sirius Radio. That's for you St. Louis people. And that's like finding the baby Jesus in a manger with Bud Light.
Right.
Right. Oh, my God. But the Dodgers are animals. I've watched them because my friend Chuck is a season ticket person, so I get dragged down to the Dodger game sometimes. And I tell you, they really are animals.
Yeah.
I think my soul, though, is stronger than Larry King's soul, and he's their biggest fan.
Right.
So I think I can outwill him. That's
have you gotten into a stare-off with Larry at Dodger Stadium?
No, but he posted a picture of him and his kid, the Chance or Lucky or Bingo or whatever the kid's name is. Bingo, Lucky, Chance. I don't know. And I'm like, God, what is he, 5,000? Look at him. Seriously, and he's getting in the town car to go to the Dodger game. Even I'm like, oh, it's on TV. There's no reason to deal with that traffic. And I'm happy.
Because you know that's traffic.
Well, true, and I'm driving. Just riding around in a vehicle.
But if you're watching on TV, there's virtually no chance of getting hit in the head with a foul ball.
Right.
Exactly.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. And so, the beer is just as good out of my refrigerator.
Yeah.
Colder.
Yeah.
Probably.
Right.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely cheaper.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
So, in other sports news, Abby Wambach just married her girlfriend.
Oh, yay.
Women's national soccer team.
Now, Lizzie news, so that now I'm excited. Now I'm interested.
Look at her perk.
Oh! Yeah. Girl on girl. Okay. Kathleen, so Greta Van Susteren posted one of your jokes.
Yes. Now, she just found the joke. It's on my last special, so it's 3 years old, but that's okay.
Right.
Still funny.
Right.
Was it from Gone Madigan?
No.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
It's from Gone Madigan, where I talk about being in Afghanistan, and they tell us all the things we built, and the blah, blah, blah. And the punchline is, maybe this is great. When we're done, maybe we should invade Detroit. Ha, ha, hee, hee, ha, right?
Right.
She posts the whole joke of the thing, and my sister sent this to me. She goes, have you seen this? You're on the Greta Wire, whatever that is. She goes, read it, Kathleen, but more importantly, read the comment page,
God.
Because you've broken this down to discussions about the KKK and gangs in Chicago. Way to get America talking, Kathleen. Way to get America talking. So then I started reading the comment board.
Oh, God.
Half of them agreed with me, and then half were like, this lady is an Obama-loving... I'm sorry. I liked Hillary. Let's get this straight, people. I was not doing Obama. But I thought, look at how seriously these people... I am a comedian. It says it in lights above my head.
Yeah.
Comedian. Joke lady. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a brain surgeon. There is no reason to take me seriously. No one on this board had a sense of humor. They didn't understand it was a joke.
They thought they were deconstructing a joke.
She wrote comedian in giant letters.
Right.
It could not be more clear.
You said you are not a thinker lady, and I disagree. We think of you as Kathleen Madigan, thinker lady.
Well, okay, then... You guys, this group.
That's why we have you in.
In this group.
It's a low bar in here.
Brent Garvin, male prostitute.
That's how you're here. I'm like, hey, Travis, we need our thinker lady to discuss the shutdown.
I cannot believe my favorite comment of all, though, because people start attacking each other on comment boards.
Yeah.
That's when it breaks down into personal hatred, that's when I like it the most.
Yeah, well, me too.
Some guy named Richard was just rambling on. He had like 7 paragraphs to say about my one joke, and this lady just, in the middle of it all, this lady just wrote, go to hell, Richard. I don't know why
that's awesome.
That was, that's some little old lady. You know what you can do? Go to hell.
Oh, you punctuated that with a banana just now. Right.
Where did that come from? The lady with a banana. Look
out. Why did you become a prop comic? Where did that come from?
I saw Carrot Top a month ago. It's seeping into my life now. Yeah, so for fun, that is just a little political thing. And I did take a picture of me and Newt Gingrich at Leno.
I saw that.
And I got a lot of hate for that.
Yeah. Oh, we have my favorite hate letter the other day from, I don't know what, Newsbuster. Oh, it was on Hannity, too, apparently, in the left-wing hate speech segment or whatever. And someone told me to blow it out my ass, dip. And that's awesome, right?
I love it when someone uses the phrase, blow it out your ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's anger right there.
That
is. Just blow it out your ass.
No, wait, what was the, so tell me, what's the Gingrich thing now?
I sometimes, like, it shows when people go, can I get a picture? I go, sure. And I take a normal one. I go, here, let's take one for fun. And I do my Gap model picture. That's when you're supposed to look away and sad and hungry. And it's just a funny picture.
Right.
And everyone can look like a model if you try hard enough.
Right.
And Newt was at the Tonight Show, and I was there. And I said, hey, Newt. I introduced myself, and his handler lady had seen my show, so she was very nice. I said, will you take a silly picture with me? He goes, sure, what do you want to do? I go, we're going to look like Gap models. And I knew when I said Gap, he doesn't know that.
No.
And I go, supermodels, so we're going to look sad and hungry in different directions. He goes, well, I don't know if I can pull off hungry. I go, I didn't want to say that either, but I thought I'd give you a fair shot like everybody else. But he laughed. Like, he was very nice and silly. And so we have our Gap supermodel picture.
Yeah.
He did it.
Right.
Like, this guy is the Speaker of the House. Like, he could have been president, and I have him in a hallway. My brother's like, amazing. You can get anybody to do that. Like, he was just really friendly. So I posted the picture.
Right.
Oh, my God. The hate that came through. I'm like, people.
Right. You're like, hey, listen.
So many
you're like, listen.
Dumb.
Fatty thought it was funny. Just shush.
Yeah.
What's your
problem? It was fine. He was friendly because I wrote, I said, friendly. I wrote good sport, which he was. And people, good sport. He delivered canned papers to a dying wife with cancer. Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is a Gap model picture.
Wow.
Let's just start with the fact. We're pretending we're supermodels. What has happened to people's sense of humor?
More people need to go Madigan because it's gotten entirely too serious in Washington.
Maybe, or Madigan again.
Maybe if everybody did the Gap model picture and everybody right now.
If we could get the Congress to do that,
you
right?
You pick somebody from the other team and you do your Gap model
do
picture.
Do it. Do it.
Start with left.
If Rosa DeLauro and Michelle Bachmann could do
there
a Gap model picture.
There you go.
Yeah, well.
Oh, by the way, speaking of people that misunderstand comedy.
Uh-oh.
Did you see the Michelle Bachmann parody on SNL? She was twerking with John Boner.
I saw the headline. I need to look at the clip.
So Miley Cyrus was playing her.
Right.
On Saturday Night Live. She responded to Miley Cyrus's impression of her saying she's never done twerking in her life. Well, that is hard to believe with the healthy sex life she and Marcus must enjoy. That she does not twerk on that. However, she said, okay, here, because you think, like, who would vote for Michelle Bachmann? This is the answer. These people. She said that after the show aired, she received calls in her office from people who believed it was her.
Oh.
And the 20-year-old Miley Cyrus.
Wow.
Those people that actually thought that was actually Michelle Bachmann.
In her mind, that happened.
Right. She said, I can tell you as a 57-year-old woman, it's been a long time since I've been confused for a 20-year-old, except by the dopes that voted for you. Hey! I don't think it's right for a congresswoman to be twerking on Saturday Night Live! Who answers the phone to Michelle Bachmann's, ma'am, that was not the congresswoman, that was Miley Cyrus. Are you, seriously, how stupid are you? I mean, how many...
Are you drunk?
I think she wished that that happened. I don't
know. No, I believe
happened.
The people that would vote for Michelle Bachmann
you
would call her office.
Confuse it. They'd call her office.
Outraged.
Yeah.
She was on TV talking about the end of the world. Did you see that?
Yes.
We're in end
Lord.
Times.
Oh, Jehovah
the
God.
The day is at hand.
Yeah.
And right now.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Oh, golly.
We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
And you twerk like nobody's business.
Well, because Obama, this is the logic. Because Obama sold weapons to
We're
such
arming
and such.
Terrorists
We're arming
because
terrorists,
of Syria.
And that's one of the sides. And then she was like, and that's terrible. But if you believe that, it's not terrible for you. That's where her logic breaks down.
Right.
Just stay logical, and I'm with you. But you can't. Not, well, you should be having a party then, because you're the one that can't wait to meet the baby Jesus.
To go to glory, yeah.
Right. She said, I have never done twerking in my life, and I don't intend to take it up. But I sense that Marcus is twerking his ass off somewhere, don't you think?
I'm super! Thanks for asking.
Not on her.
All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yeah, right. I could not even get through that whole thing. But it was because we're giving chemical weapons, like protective masks
right.
to the Syrian. Right. So that's why
that's hastening the end times.
Right, because we're arming terrorists.
Right, but then so she should keep voting for Obama.
Exactly.
Because that's right. her main goal, to meet baby
right.
Jesus
right.
at
right.
the end of the game.
Right.
I seriously, when I see her, because I've worked in Minnesota a million times, literally a million, because it's right. one of the Midwest ones I started in. And most of the people I meet are extremely educated. Iowa and
right.
Minnesota,
right.
they would totally kick Missouri's ass. We are so not like right. them. They are really educated. But I think it's because it's colder and they have nothing to do except stay inside. That's
and
my
read.
Out.
And
That's
read.
My out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They're readers. They're
right.
readers. And I don't understand how Michelle Bachmann gets through on their
voting.
Well,
it's a state that elected Al Franken and Michelle Bachmann. Go figure.
Wow, yeah, somebody needs to leave the bar sooner. You know, I mean, that's too bizarre. I think they're not, it's not a dumb state. I have some dumb states.
And
that's not one of them.
Our version, by the way, out here in California, Buck McKeon, who is both...
Joe Buck from Texas.
Yeah, who is both who he is and what he does. But he is, he's not good at math. He's on with Will Flitzer.
I've heard that they've had over 8 million hits. People that have tried to
right.
sign up, and
right.
and so far they have people in the single digits that have signed up. Now, obviously, there's something very wrong there, and these are coming from, these statements are coming from bipartisan people that are just concerned about the implementation of the law.
What? When you say single digits, I don't know, I'm not exactly clear what you mean by that.
Single digit single... would be less than 10.
What do you mean, less than 10 people out of the millions who have experimented? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that. I read that in an article in Forbes today.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What Forbes?
Just California alone.
Right.
In the LA Times yesterday.
28,000 people have signed up.
Right.
He was duped by that knockoff Forbes magazine.
In the first day or since it opened up? I can't remember.
In the first week.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't even been a week
yet.
That's
a single right. digits.
So that's just in California.
My mind works in single digits. I can only process so much information at the time, which is why I talk in this stilted manner.
That even Wolf Blitzer, you know, who usually has to leave it there, is like,
can't leave it there.
Wait.
Sometimes when they bring a brain screecher to Wolf, though, I like it because he'll have his glasses on. He'll be like, blah, blah, yeah, yeah, yeah. The other Michelle Bachmann's rambling on about Jesus and unicorns and whatever. And then every once in a while, though, something will stop his brain where he'll go, I'm sorry, and he adjusts his glasses. What did you say single digits?
Oh, wait a minute. We cannot leave it. For once, I can't leave it there.
I think Buck McKeon mistook Forbes for highlights for children.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Sure. He read that in the Goofus and Gallant column.
Right. But you know at least one, someone that works with you.
The lady who helps me do all the details for the road stuff, Pam, she signed up because she's got emailed and said, I need the corporate stuff.
Well,
this.
That's a single digit.
And that's so I know one.
Yeah.
So, Buck,
if there's
you're
Pam.
It's 10, yeah, I know one, what are the odds? Come on, look, that's not right. That can't his numbers are wrong. No.
Okay.
Yeah,
single
and Pam did it with no problem.
Right.
Or so
don't wave
I
your banana at me.
It worked fine. The website worked fine for Pam. And
all right.
I thought maybe I should do it. I'm not clear of my coverage.
Okay. Well, maybe she could on Pam Care.
Well, yeah, maybe I should ask Pam. And I'm the president of the corporation. And
that's
I don't
right.
even know what's happening.
Go to askpam.gov. Okay, 47 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Kathleen Madigan live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Kathleen Madigan, speaking of Kathleen Madigan, wow, she is everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Just turn on the TV. If you people ask what channel is she on?
All of them.
All of them. Sometimes. You were on Letterman this past Friday. You will be on the Tonight Show on October 2nd.
We already had October 2nd.
Oh, October 2nd's gone.
November 5th or 7th or something.
Right, sorry.
Yeah, I forgot. No worries.
That was a bad plug. But you know what? The point is, you're everywhere. And Madigan again. What? Pardon me? How can I get that? How can I get that if I were someone?
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
And I love them. They've been so nice. You just give them your homework and they buy it. There's no notes. There's no meetings with these network people.
Wow. Easy.
No meetings.
Huh. Oh, that is.
You go, hey, I got a thing. You want to buy it? They go, yeah, here's how much we'll give you. Great. That's the end of it.
Terrific,
that's
and
the
you're
whole
done.
Meeting.
Right?
Yeah, there's no, like, talking to the network people now, it's like talking to your grandparents. Netflix is like that cool, young, weird neighbor you have that you want to know what he's doing.
Right.
And you want him to help you. It really has. Like, I would never talk nice about something that I really didn't believe that they're the greatest. And then my parents told me to cancel Netflix. I bought it for them 3 years ago because they live in the Ozarks and they don't have a movie store. And I said, why? Why do you want me to cancel? Because I'm paying for it. It's like $9 something.
Right.
My dad goes, your mother and I have lived long enough that we've decided we've seen everything. Just cancel it. I go, but Dad, there's new movies. It's all repetitive, Kathleen. What is Daniel Day-Lewis going to tell me about Abraham Lincoln that I don't know? Did John Wilkes Booth not shoot him? Is there new information? Is there new information? I don't think so. I would have heard it on the news. Just cancel Netflix. I go, but my special's going to be on there. He goes, won't it be the same jokes we just heard in Las Vegas?
Oh,
I said, oh, kind of. Yeah, and he goes, well, then I've made my point, haven't I, Kathleen? Save yourself the $9. I'm like, I don't want to brag, but I have $9. I'm keeping Netflix now just because you told me to cancel it. Now on purpose, I will never cancel it.
My favorite line about your dad is Al Sharpton is his favorite show because it's the only one he can hear.
He can hear. He goes, this guy, they have the sound turned up right. No, Dan, he's yelling. No, they didn't make loud levels just for Al. He's just screaming into a microphone on his lapel. He loves,
right.
I don't even care what he's saying. I'm enjoying the volume so much. This is wonderful. This is wonderful.
So, all right, back to the shutdown. Jim, who said POTUS is basically saying, yes, we're bankrupt, but unless I get a blank check to keep the debt going, I shall not engage the American people.
Michelle Bachmann.
No, good guess, though, this time. No, Sarah Palin.
Ew. Oh. Same thing. Dummy.
Wow.
Dumb and dumberer.
Bob Seska diagrams that whole sentence and how it's pretty much all kinds of wrong. Okay. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary. Here he is.
After Republicans agree to leave the matches and the gasoline outside of the room and sit down and negotiate.
Okay.
Get that, Newsbusters?
Yep. Steve in Wisconsin, you're on with Kathleen. Hello, Steve.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is I want to kind of report what's happening with our local news. We just had a report last night where they talked about maybe 20 seconds about the shutdown, stating, you know, both sides are at fault, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing was they talked about the healthcare implementation.
Right.
And how everyone's premiums are going up. And they talked to some financial investors, and they said they heard the same thing. All their premiums are going up. They never mentioned Obamacare by name, but that was definitely the implied.
Yeah. Ay vey. I know. Well,
where's the local news? Where is he from?
Wisconsin.
Weird. Wisconsin, usually they're pretty liberal. That's strange. Who got a hold of their news station? Who captured them?
Paul Ryan.
Dave in Minnesota, we're not sure why we're talking like this, but everybody do
it's
it.
Elijah Manel.
Oh, hi. See, that Kathy Madigan, she's sure a swell gal, don't you think? She just makes my lutefisk taste even better. She's such a swell gal because she knows how smart we all are up here, don't you know? But seriously, I do appreciate that, and I think she should be made, no offense to Al Franken, the official comedian of the state of Minnesota.
Thank you.
As a result of that endorsement. But, I do think our state has valued education longer. There's less of a energy here to say, you know, teachers are freeloaders and this kind of thing. My sister's a teacher, works with kids who are in the Alternative Learning Center, who are about one step away from being in the criminal justice system. So she's doing that good work. But
Dave,
you know,
sorry, we're out of time, but right back with more Kathleen Madigan live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting with HD Face is the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Stephanie. Won't you? Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, my precious little comedy pumpkin, is live in the studio.
Thinker lady. Thinker
the
thinker, lady.
Well-known thinker lady, Kathleen Madigan, is here with us. And wow. Yes, and you can, wow, I mean, you're everywhere, but how do you get Madigan again?
Just Netflix. Go on Netflix.
Right, yeah. Which you did not even have to have a GoToMeeting for. They just said, I'll buy it for a dollar.
Or you can go on iTunes and just get the CD.
Would you like a moment to get the frog out of your throat?
It's been there all day. I'm not even smoking. See, quitting does nothing. If I was smoking right now, this would be a crystal clear pathway to deliciousness. And it's not.
All right.
I may be hacking up 30 years of what was already in there.
Of tar
not
and,
sure.
Yes, whatever.
Probably. Yeah. Complimentary Marlboro Light T-shirts. That's what's stuck right here.
We'll pull it together over there because later this hour, a wormhole will open in the universe when Suzanne Summers calls in to talk about how she has sex all the time.
Yep.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. You get to talk to Suzanne Summers.
Right. Shut up.
Seriously.
You know, there's so many little surprises when I come over here. It's not just morning radio with you three.
No.
Oh, God, no.
Little comedy surprises like that.
Very exciting.
Speaking of surprises, this just across the AP or whatever, something, some kind of news. Thinker lady, which newswire?
The UPI.
No, right. UPI. No. AP sources say that John Boehner is to ask House GOP for short-term debt ceiling increase.
This ain't no way to run a government or treat a lady, in my opinion.
Well, it keeps the world markets in check, which is a good
God's
thing.
Sakes.
But
yes, whatever.
You know.
Okay. Yeah, did you see, by the way, you know, Jim, he's been asking for quite some time. We just need a conversation. I need a conversation. Why would the president have a conversation? He's that close talker at a bar, isn't he? I want a conversation with you.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
Yeah. So the president invited all the House Republicans to a White House meeting yesterday. Did you see that? And that was entirely too much conversation for John Boehner.
I got a thing with a guy.
Yes.
Bar.
Boehner's office said the GOP would send a small group to Obama's meeting, but not all the full invited caucus. Oh, he missed a conversation with Louie Gohmert. That would have been entertaining.
That would be what Louie Gohmert would
bring to the conversation. Oh, did you see that? Louie Gohmert asserted this week the government shutdown could actually keep the U.S. from defaulting on its debts.
Right. Sure.
If and when Congress refuses to raise the debt ceiling. Unless President Obama is plotting a conspiracy not to pay the nation's bills. So that would have been a good conversation. He said, we know he's willing to spend money just to inflict hurt. It's hard to say what people like that would be willing to do, and I think it has more to do with Chicago thuggery. You know, Al Capone was willing to make people hurt if they didn't go along with these
proposals. Hitler.
I was just going to say, at least they downgraded from Hitler. Obama is Capone now and not Hitler. So we're making progress, Chris.
And Capone,
you're right.
Capone did some good things for the neighborhood. So
he did.
He did. He gave out tomatoes to poor people.
That's right.
It's called the herd.
Yeah. So you've gone from Hitler, which was all bad, to Capone, which
Hitler
is half
built
bad.
The Autobahn.
I think that's why Boehner didn't want to send everybody, because he would have had to send the Gohmerts and the, you know, Bachmans and people. We're going to keep the crazies
and
here. We're going to just send the leadership because those other people
and
don't
the Bachmakians.
Really. Right. Speaking of mobsters, is John Boehner the Fredo of the House? The Daily Beast has a piece today. Former Disney chairman Michael Eisner said if the government shutdown was Godfather, House Speaker would be the spineless black sheep of the family. Fredo. He's the Fredo.
Wow.
I'm excited. I'm Fredo. And I don't even like Italian food.
Eisner said you have a character like Fredo in The Godfather who's too weak to go against his own minority, let's say, and do the right thing. He said that Obama is dealing with a weak man who does not have the moral fiber to stand up to a minority in his party and say, hey, guys, we have to negotiate later. Let's leave the threats off the table. He said, I've never, ever dealt in my 40 years of negotiations in America with someone coming to me and putting a gun to my head and saying, do it my way or you're dead and your whole family's dead. We make movies about it and they're very popular. It's just not the way to deal. It's just absurd and, frankly, shame on Congress. And Daily Beast pointing out, if Eisner's analogy holds, Bonner would ultimately betray his rabid relatives and collude with the enemy. However, then he should avoid fishing, probably.
Yeah, don't get in the boat. Too late. I think John Boehner is in way, way over his head because every time I turn on the TV, he's either crying or sweating. And at some
who
point,
can tell the difference anymore?
You can't.
The bronzer's just...
Yeah, it's like watching my mom in menopause. At some point, right. You just, if you're John, you go, this is not the job for me.
Right.
It's,
we can talk to Suzanne Summers about whether John Boehner's going through the change. If maybe
she would know, right?
Yeah. Right. Maybe little hormones for John Boehner.
Yeah, just shove him full of estrogen.
Yeah. Well, he would cry even more of that.
give him one of those little personal fans from Disney World.
That's right.
Light up. And it could light
up. And that you could spritz with water as well.
It comes out of the fan.
That's right.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
My nephews have them.
Yep.
Yeah. They're about $14. I can get a hold of one for him.
But you wash all the bronzer off.
Yeah.
Well, he'd be streaky.
He'd be very streaky. Streaky. The other irritant in this whole situation is Ted Cruz. Have you... Because they're saying he's... You just need a bug zapper because he has that high irritating. It really, Jim is saying it's like that last, like when you're almost asleep, there's that one last mosquito and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
I didn't understand why they didn't, when he spoke for 21 or 20,000 hours.
Right.
In a comedy club, when someone...
the red light.
or if it gets weird, just turn the mic off.
Right.
That shuts down in a blaze of silence. How come nobody just turns his mic off? Just let him stand there and scream and everyone leave. A tree falls in a forest. We're back to that. It's because the media covers it.
Right?
He keeps doing it.
I know. Exactly. But they're saying that he's really the one running things now. And we've listener Jim in Saginaw has sent us a Ted Cruz jingle. Because he's from Canada. I get it.
He's Cuban by way of Canada.
That is weird. Okay. All right. Fabulous. That's just weird.
Wow.
All right. Senator Harry Reid yesterday. Here he is. Senator Harry Reid.
We're happy to work with our Republican colleagues. Open the government. Pay our bills. We'll negotiate anything.
So we'll see how this plays out today. It's just because you were saying it. Yeah, I don't know where we're going now. Where it's melding into the debt ceiling and... Right.
I don't know when the end is. They'll raise the debt ceiling.
Yeah. Well, they're going to. That looks like what they're going to do today. But and keep the government shut. I guess this is what they're saying. Like they have to. This should not be about one party saving face when they've gotten themselves into a disaster like this.
You picked the bar fight, and now you want the bar fight to somehow end where you started it, though.
Right.
So now you got to end it because you started it.
That's what I was saying. I get the impression of the president just holding Boehner's like forehead while he just swings drunkenly, and then eventually the president will just let go. All right. Are you done? Okay.
I would like to say, though, government shutdown, you can say you closed the Grand Canyon, but you didn't. You can
still
never really closed if I decide to jump in.
That's right.
I love it. The Grand Canyon is closed. No, it's not. How big of a tarp are you hiding?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
You don't have a tarp that big. If you can't close the Grand Canyon.
They close it with the Grand Tarp.
See, we should send Kathleen on a mission. Mm-hmm. We bet she can get in.
What, all the national parks? You think I couldn't sneak in?
Yeah.
You don't think I could find a bear that would get me in? A bear that knows the way? God, give him a few steaks and $20?
You find a helpful bear.
Yes.
Yogi. Yogi's available.
Smokey.
Right this week, at least. Right this week, at least.
Exactly. I can get in.
For the price of
these places. You can't close a monument. Yeah. I can still look at it.
For just a small picnic biscuit.
Boo-Boo's not clever enough.
To get into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. All right, boo-boo.
Corky in Rochester, you're on with Kathleen. Hello, Corky. Hi, Corky. Hello. And going once and twice, Chris in Massachusetts, you're on with Kathleen. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning. So I had a Bachmanite experience. I live in Massachusetts, as you said, and I'm a progressive business owner, and I started a new business this year. And one of the guys that behind the counter said, how's business? I said, oh, well, it's come to a grinding halt over the last 3 weeks just because of the shutdown. And he goes, yeah, I know. We talked about Bachman, and I said, well, I guess you can't give the poor people food under WIC because Jesus is coming back. And with that, like, this guy who reminded me, who's the guy who was, like, Precious, remember, in the Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Like, Precious, my Precious.
Robert Smigel.
So this little dude turns around and goes, amen, brother. You know, the Bible's the oldest book in the world. I'm like, yeah, except if you include, you know, I don't know, Hinduism, uniform.
Right.
But anyway, go on. And the guy was like, I said to him, he goes, oh, no, man, it's the truth. It's written. I'm like, look, dude, I think you're delusional and your people are frightening. And then he just started to try to, like, assail me. Why are you running away? Don't start what you can't finish. I was like, this is insane. Like, where do they find these people? I don't. So I wanted to tell you because I didn't know what else to tell. So
yikes.
There you go.
Yikes. Wow. That is frightening.
Yeah, the Bible is not the oldest book in the world. Just so you know.
Zoroastrians had a myth.
Uniform. And as a road comedian, Kathleen has read it probably 6 million times. It's the only book in a comedy condo or a hotel.
The Gideons.
Right.
Yes, a free something from the Gideons. I would have thought the dictionary is older.
But no.
No.
Oh, hey, speaking of chaplain, the Senate chaplain, Barry Black.
Yesterday. It's time for our lawmakers to say enough is enough.
All right. Well,
we'll see. Although I think the Koch brothers are kind of backing down.
Because that's their money, too, that's going to go bye-bye.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, no, exactly, because nobody can predict what's going to happen if we, you know, blow through the debt ceiling and
Wall Street,
these guys got
collapses.
A little cash. Yeah, exactly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along with Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire. Sorry, I had a little brain-related event. Nobody help me. Nobody
Are you okay?
Nobody touched me. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lee in Dallas, you're on with Kathleen Madigan. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Stephanie, I want to thank you. I trained you over-the-road truck drivers, and for the last 5 weeks, I had a guy from Texas that was a big-time right-wing freak. And between you, Randy Rhodes, and Mike Mallord, I had his ears bleeding.
Awesome. 10-4, good buddy. All right, go ahead.
All right, thanks.
Oh, that was it.
That's
thank you. Oh, it was a little unsolicited testimonial from the convoy to Mama. Thank you, convoy. I love you.
The trucking convoy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, Representative Sanford Bishop, Democrat of Georgia.
How dare we not provide these grieving families with the necessary support in their time of need?
Kathleen Madigan, you've done a lot of, performed for the troops, and you know how the Republicans, the big, you know, military people, the, you know, Democrats obviously always hate America, hate the troops. Here are 10 ways the shutdown is hurting the military. As we enter week two of the government shutdown, negative consequences are mounting for service members, their families, and the military. Troops' pay still hasn't been resolved. Families of deceased soldiers are not receiving death benefits on time. And according to the VA, funds for veterans' claims and other services are drying up fast. There's like 10, there's a whole list. Military pay, death benefits delayed, training suspended, no money for supplies, veterans' claims backlog building. Federal contractors losing months of work, college tuition assistance on hold, commissaries closed, regional veteran services offices shuttered, and Defense Department furloughs actually remain for a lot of people. So, thanks again.
Well, it'll be worth it if we get rid of Obamacare. That's all I want.
Right. It's all worth it.
Well, and you know, and all the USO shows I've done in Iraq and Afghanistan, and here too, I don't get it when Republicans say, well, it's the Hollywood liberal people that hate the military, and then I get to the shows, and it's us.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm like, well, okay. Louis Black, I don't think, would be considered.
Yeah.
I mean,
Al Franken, when he was doing USO tours.
Robin Williams, I mean, he was with us. I don't really know what anybody's. Nobody seems very. We're not even being political about it. We're just there to do a show.
Right.
Like, come on, what? Who cares what I think, really?
And then Kelly Pickler?
You are a thinker lady.
Kelly Pickler, she's got some stances about some stuff.
Stuff?
And I'm not sure if they're left or right. I just know they're hilarious.
She is inadvertently funny.
She's super quick, actually. I mean, teasing her, she can tease back quickly, so I knew she was bright.
Right.
Yeah, she just didn't have much. Like, at one point, I'm like, did you have parents? Like, those are the people.
Are you born in a...
She just didn't have a lot of information. I mean, I know she's young, but given information, one of the smartest people I've ever hung out with. Really?
Okay.
Seriously.
Right.
I know people would think that maybe not. It's like saying, how smart is Dolly Parton? Smart, owns most of Tennessee.
She
doesn't come off that way, but she's the president of Tennessee.
Under that big wig?
Yeah.
Big brain.
Okay. Yeah. Big Dollywood.
Senator Bob Casey on the troops as well. Senator Bob,
even for Washington, it's unusual that veterans or children or soldiers are used as kind of a political strategy to make a point.
Just a little bit. Senator Rand Paul yesterday.
I'm not advocating we go through the debt ceiling deadline, but what I am saying is if you go through it, you will not default, and that leaders in our country should reassure the world's markets we will not default.
Listened to any credible economist?
Yeah, Bob Seska wrote a great piece about this. We're going to talk to Bob in about an hour, but he said that he knows that like actual facts make Rand Paul's brain itch. Now, that could be why his hair looks like that. Maybe he's trying to...
Yeah, he's
trying to scratch his brain. Get to it.
Yeah.
He's a tiny man.
Right.
I told you he came to that meet and greet of mine.
Oh, you did, said he's roughly 3 feet tall.
He's, I'm really, really short, so when somebody hits me just about eye level, I'm like, whoa, you are short.
Wow.
Like, and I know I am, but I wasn't expecting you to be short, and I have a heel on, usually 3 inches, so, wow, what
Wait,
is
now
going
how tall are you?
Here? 5'1".
Wow.
Yeah, and a half.
Yikes.
Well, maybe not anymore. But at 4'10", if you're 4'10", you have to be in a car seat. So when I'm 70,
right.
I'll be back in a car seat, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Right.
Well, I'm totally serious.
Maybe there's an explanation for the hair, because he's trying to get a little height, you know, like girls from Staten Island. Like
there's a lot going on
right.
with his hair. A lot of product, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know
but it is. We were saying the other day it needs a little more regulation, a little more government regulation of some sort. That's like a libertarian hairstyle, isn't it?
I don't know where I'd put it, but yeah, it was something to look at, even from above. I was like, wow, yeah, I'm a giant. You can't be the president. I'm bigger than you. I can't be taller than the leader of the free world. I will be the leader of the free world.
By the way,
yes.
Huffington Post is reporting that Congress's approval rating has dropped to 5% in latest polls.
Nicely done.
But
nicely done.
Question is, though, who's saying good job? 5%
of
the people
we
want
to talk to those people.
On target.
Right.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Yes. Wow. In fact, I have some polling fun facts. Would you like to hear them?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Here are a list of things more popular than Congress. Jury duty, hemorrhoids, dog poop, the DMV. The IRS. And things that, blah, blah, blah. Thankfully, still some things people consider lower on the rung than Congress. Toenail fungus. Mm-hmm. Only slightly more preferable to Congress. These things were the only things worse than Congress. Vladimir Putin. Anthony Weiner. Miley Cyrus. Ebola.
Ebola.
Right. Oh, Charles Manson. Heroin and twerking.
Wow.
Hipsters are more popular than Congress.
Three
tastes
that go good together.
Right. So, there you go.
Wow. Hmm.
Charles Manson. Twerking.
That's, you know, your heroin. Would you like Ebola or Gomer? You know what? I'll take Ebola. I will take Ebola.
I'd rather my eyes bleed.
Yeah.
Bleeding from the eyeballs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
Rather that than talk to Steve King? Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, God.
In fact, I will be twerked upon by someone with Ebola. Rather than talk to Michelle Bachman. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we roll along with Kathleen Madigan on a Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
America's original sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, like Linda in Livingston, Montana did with an unsolicited testimonial. Good morning, Steph. I've been listening for years and just improved my life dramatically, despite the shutdown, by purchasing your podcast.
Hooray.
It's the only cure for the shutdown blues. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Wow.
Right?
I got
thanks.
It. I have $5.
Thanks. Kathleen Madigan has posited that you can get into a national park, and she's going to prove it. She's going to find a helpful bear to let her into Yellowstone. Linda lives. I live in Livingston, Montana, which is 52 miles outside of Yellowstone National Park. I worked in Yellowstone for 15 years, so for all those douche nozzles out there saying there's no effect from the shutdown, I dare them to come to every person in this and many other towns and say that to their faces. This is not a wealthy area, and half my friends are out of their jobs. Businesses are being affected every day, including mine. I actually am a small business owner, and every time I try to listen to both sides, the other side makes me sick, so I try not to do that. Nicely done, Linda. P.S. So excited for your West Coast Sexy Liberal announcement, which is tomorrow, the big West Coast Sexy Liberal announcement right out of the top of the show. Very exciting. Revving up the Sexy Liberal bus again. Woo-hoo!
Just for the West Coast?
Yeah, West Coast announcement tomorrow.
We did East Coast earlier. We did Midwest.
Chicago in the spring, and this is the big fall West Coast show. Very exciting.
Maybe I can see one this time if you're out
right,
this way.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Kathleen Madigan you can see everywhere else.
On Netflix, even.
Right. Yeah. Netflix.
Netflix.
And, she was on Letterman. She's on Tonight Show. She's everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Everywhere.
This is the most important one.
And she will be in Yellowstone soon.
Yeah, I will be parachuting into the Grand Canyon.
Right.
To prove
just
that
to
it's
prove
not
it.
Closed.
It's not closed. Donald in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donald.
Yes, I have three quick things. One is my anniversary to my wife, Jackie. My comment was, I believe that the big problem with the Republicans is there's too many leaders. They don't know who to follow. So it's just the idiots are the leaders. Like Cruz and them, they just don't know what to do.
Right.
And this is my first time on the show. I've been trying to get on the show for a year, and I've been wanting to say this for a year. The guy who screens y'all calls, I believe he's an asshole. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yikes. All right. Well, that won't happen again, will it, Travis?
Wow.
Okay.
That's
yikes.
Nice, Travis.
I did not see
lovely.
That coming. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Okay.
That was stealth.
Wow, that was okay.
Well, Travis apparently has been doing his job for the last year.
Yes, because he kept that hole off the,
exactly.
off the air.
Good job, Travis.
Nicely done, Travis.
Good morning to you, Travis.
Who is the biggest non-hole I know, by the way.
Travis is having a bad week, so he probably didn't appreciate that.
He did not need that.
No.
All right. All right. The someone else having a bad week, the boner.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a train wreck.
Obamacare?
How can we tax people for not buying a product from a website that doesn't work?
Except the website does work. Ask Kathleen Madigan's employee, Pam.
Pam is extremely shy.
28,000 people that already bought insurance out here
and
in California. That's just in California.
Yeah, there are glitches because it's so popular.
Yes.
People can't wait to sign up.
Oh, but Buck McKeon said it's in single digits. It's less than 10. I have to hear that again just to hear Wolf Blitzer finally react to something.
I've heard that they've had over 8 million hits. People that have tried to sign up, and so far they have people in the single digits that have signed up. Now, obviously, there's something very wrong there.
Yes.
And these statements are coming from bipartisan people that are just concerned about the implementation of the law.
Sure.
When you say single digits, I don't know. I'm not exactly clear what you mean by that.
Single digit would be less than 10.
What?
Like my IQ.
Would it be less than 10 people out of the millions who have experimented? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that. I read that in an article in Forbes today.
No, you didn't. You dummy.
Well, I like, though, as soon as he got held to it, he had to figure out who to blame for that fact.
Oh, Forbes.
I read that.
In an article in Forbes magazine. Flarbs. Snurbs. Flarbs. Magazine?
Oh, boy. Okay. Fine American Eugene Robinson, who I love, just wrote a great piece. Obamacare is here. Get used to it. While Republicans were throwing their silly tantrum, Obamacare became a fact. There is no turning back.
Yep.
The point of no return was reached when millions of people crashed the websites of the new Affordable Care Act exchange while trying to buy health insurance. Like Pam.
Yep.
The website
blame
work.
Pam if it's not working.
Republicans can fight their rear guard battles if they want, but last Tuesday they lost the war. All they can do at this point is harm the nation and their political prospects, which is what the polls are showing. Someday, if the GOP captures the presidency in both houses of Congress, Eugene, that's a good one. President Obama's health care law could be altered or even repealed, but it would be replaced by some new program that does the same thing, because there is no politically viable way to snatch away the medical insurance that customers are buying through the exchanges. They'll just call it something else.
Yeah.
They'll be like, "It's thank God the Obamacare is gone. Here, it's cruise care. Don't you like it?" Ugh. Quite the opposite. As soon as the glitches are cleared up, everyone becomes a bit less hysterical. The question will be how to obtain coverage for as many as 30 million people who will still be uninsured, including upwards of 8 million ineligible for Obamacare because of a sabotage campaign by Republican governors. There's that. Look at Texas, he says, which the State Medical Association calls the uninsured capital of the U.S. An estimated 22.5% of the population lacks health insurance, a higher percentage than any other state. Many will remain under uninsured because of Governor Rick Perry.
Oops.
Once and perhaps future GOP candidate for president, he refused to set up a state exchange and turned down billions in federal funds to expand Medicaid coverage. Time is on the side of those who want to expand coverage, not those who want to restrict it. I've been saying that. That's going to be it's going to be the opposite. But places like Texas are going to be under pressure from states like California where it's working.
Mm-hmm. Don't get sick in Texas.
Right. Yeah. All the apocalyptic right-wing rhetoric about socialism and the end of freedom is nothing but hot air. Soon no one will take it seriously. I love Eugene. Critics of Obamacare seem not to understand the vast numbers of uninsured Americans contribute heavily to the system's inefficiencies. We provide care for these people, but we do it in the dumbest way imaginable. The emergency room is what he's talking about. Blah, blah, blah. The uninsured cannot pay their bills. Medical costs are the biggest single cause of personal bankruptcy, so they're passed on to the rest of us in form of higher health insurance premiums. Family USA, a nonpartisan health advocacy group, estimated in 2010 an average family in Texas paid an extra $2,786 in premiums to cover care for the uninsured. Thanks, Governor Perry. Medicare guaranteed health and care for the Medicaid for the poor. Obamacare begins to fill in the remaining gaps. It will get better over time, but already crashing websites and all. It's a beautiful thing. Eugene Robinson in the Washington Post.
You know what? He's a black.
Yes, Mary. Thank you, Claire. Mary. Eugene Robinson is in fact a black.
I think they should all stop calling it Obamacare.
Right.
As my good friend Lewis Black says, it's not the care and feeding of Obama.
But he's a black.
Prefer,
what does he
yes,
know?
Yes, he is. I prefer Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act, which is its real name. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the president appointed the first chick to the Fed, mm-hmm. President Obama, yesterday.
She is a proven leader, and she's tough, not just because she's from Brooklyn.
Ha! Janet Yellen yesterday, the Fed chair nominee. Janet Yellen yesterday.
The mandate of the Federal Reserve is to serve all the American people. And too many Americans still can't find a job and worry how they'll pay their bills and provide for their families.
You know, she's it's very historic. This will be the first woman. She's a little dry. I think she needs a jingle.
Look at Barack. He sets up somewhere. Chair for you. And she was called Yellen. She came along to set prime rates for you.
Yikes.
And buy a bond or two. And she was called Yellen. She'll hate the Federal Reserve. The shutdown is playing on our nerves. The default on the debt we can't stand. Thanks to Republicans.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Wow. It's not often you get a Fed chair parody.
No, only here.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Mark in Santa Clarita. You're on with Kathleen. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm a constituent of Howard Buck McCann. I love that name. I swear, you know.
I called his office about a couple of days before the government shut down, and I just kind of read them the riot act. But I started out by just asking. So I asked the aide, you know, what is the congressman's position on the potential shutdown? The congressman is against Obamacare. I said, well, I'm not asking you about Obamacare. I'm asking you, because that's the law. I'm asking you about the potential shutdown, which hasn't gone into effect yet. The congressman is against Obamacare. And I said, well, first of all, do you even understand what Obamacare is? It's the Affordable Care Act and Patient Protection Act. And I said, and it's going to use private insurance to insure patients all across California, and it's already working. And she was like, the congressman is against Obamacare.
It's a robot.
I will use every effort I have to work against this congressman's reelection if he doesn't act reasonable. You will not take our government hostage. You will not take our country hostage. Move forward. And they hung up on me. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
They hung up on me.
Wow.
I mean, this is my congressman. They hung up on me.
Yep, no, there you go.
Congressman
working
Obamacare.
Camp. Here's what you get.
The congressman
Fuck
is against
you.
Obamacare.
When
the
it
congressman
gets too
is
hard.
Against Obamacare.
I think it's a robot. There's no human could actually repeat that same thing.
The congressman is against Obamacare.
When it gets too hard, hang up.
Yeah.
That's the way out of that argument.
Yeah, because clearly he was being unreasonable.
Sure.
Okay. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with Kathleen Madigan and Suzanne Summers.
Yeah.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. I'm watching our friend Aisha Tyler's show, The Talk, and there is Suzanne Summers talking about she has sex twice a day. Let me check the schedule here. She said at 4 a.m., and then when she's really awake around 8 or so, we have busy mornings, so we have like 10 minutes in between sex for Suzanne Summers to say hello. Good morning, Suzanne Summers.
Often while your show is on.
Wow. So you're saying the Stephanie Miller Show is the answer to all your sex life problems. Is that...
Yes, you put me in the mood, Stephanie.
Wow.
Good for you, sister. Nicely done. What's happening with the... You're saying, and you told Katie Couric, it's that you're having the best sex of your life? Come on, share. What's going on? What's happening? You have a new book out, I'm Too Young for This. Explain.
Right. I think the lack of understanding about how important a role hormones play in all our lives, men and women alike, and I'm called controversial, and I always say you have to consider the agenda of the source of the people calling me controversial. I don't sell hormones. I sell a quality of life, that there's a new way to age, and I'm living it. I've been on hormones for 20 years, and so is my husband. Now, if you remember when you were in your teens and 20s, you felt like doing it a couple of times a day, didn't you?
Nobody wanted to with me, but yeah, sure. Theoretically, myself.
And the guys there, that's all they were thinking about then. Well, the reason is because of perfect hormonal balance, because it's really biology. It nature, that the only reason we're really here, biologically speaking, is to perpetuate the species. So the brain recognizes hormonally balanced people as reproductive and therefore, i.e., valuable. The moment we start declining in hormones, the brain's job goes, this person's not going to be able to make a baby, time to get rid of them. And if you notice, around the end of our reproductive years, that's when we get our cancers, and that's when we get the conditions, autoimmune diseases, etc.
Right.
But now, with toxins, the greatest toxic assault in the history of mankind, it's depleting hormones in men and women earlier and earlier. So what used to happen to women around 45, 48-ish and lasted a couple of years, this perimenopause thing, and then you transition into full loss of hormones, which is what menopause is now starting commonly around 35, 38, shockingly sometimes even 25.
No. Suzanne, what kind of hormones is your husband on? Is it like that low T commercial where, because that looks a little frightening, where it makes him feel better, but then you can't get it on anyone else in your family?
Yeah, right. And but also, there's nothing scientific about that. Every individual is different, so you can't do a one-pill-fits-all. That's what they tried to do with women and synthetic hormones. What I need is different than what you need, which is different what the guys need. So it's a blood test. You go to SuzanneSummers.com, you just click on Forever Health. It's a free service. It's a consortium of doctors who've gone back to school because they don't learn this in medical school. So that's why when you go to your doctor, they go, what, you're listening to that actress. And these doctors understand through blood testing to determine exactly where your deficiencies are, Stephanie, exactly where the guys in your booth there, where their deficiencies are, and you...
Oh, I tell them those every day. But, you know, it's interesting because you have... Well, I mean, you describe in here about, you know, premenopause, when your hormones start shifting, your moods, health, and even relationships can take a nosedive. I had a hard time distinguishing that from the rest of my life, but how that was any different. But I know that I taught... You talk in there about bioidentical hormones because I talked... I mean... I just get nervous that there is a slighter risk of cancer, isn't there, from bioidenticals? Even?
So I address that in this book. I put out all the studies of the efficacy and safety of natural hormones. There's never been one reported case of cancer from natural bioidentical hormones. Then I put all the studies on the synthetic hormones, and there's one study I've got in there, the Fournier study, 80,000 women. They found the women on the most popular synthetic hormones had a 69% increased risk of cancer. Those are dangerous, and that's the information that came out in 2002 where, I'm paraphrasing here, but it essentially said it'd be better for women to take nothing at all than to take these dangerous, harmful, and even fatal hormones. So all women threw them away. They feel like crap. They don't feel like having sex. They get fat. They bloat. Their hair is not shiny and nice. Their skin wrinkles faster. It usually wrecks their marriage because they just aren't interested in their husband. They have no pheromones. It's been the worst disservice that's happened to women. Because if they let us die when we are supposed to die, which is, you know, in nature, in the animal world, there is no menopause because when an animal is no longer reproductive, they slow down and get eaten. And that's what...
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
Right. Oh, come on.
Not in a good way at all. we could all go in such a direction here. But this way, you go to Forever Health, you find your doctor nearest you, they take your blood test, they find out exactly what you're missing, and for a woman, every day you put on the right amount of estrogen cream just for you. They put on the 2 weeks of every month, you put the right amount of progesterone cream just for you. Every day you put on the right amount of testosterone just for you, and it's like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I call it filling the tank. So as you if your oil was low, you'd fill the tank.
Right.
So your car would run at optimum. So it's trying to keep the machinery running at optimum, and not doing it is more dangerous than doing it.
Now let's talk about you and your husband filling the tank a couple of times a day, because you say in here you take 60 supplements, creams, and a daily injection of human growth hormone to stay feeling. How do you fit sex in around that schedule of supplements and creams?
You know, I had my, there's chronological age and then there's biological age. And I was at the Shom Center, it's a health center in South Korea last year, and they tested my chronological age. I'm 66 chronologically, but they tested my biological age. My biological age is 34. That's because of replacing hormones. So my kids are grown. My husband and I have the house all to ourselves. He's on testosterone.
Dear God. And the neighbors know not to pop in by surprise, don't they?
Right? No, probably nobody wants to pop in on us now. But, a healthy person is a sexual person, and that's why I'm talking about it, not to be sensational, but
right.
I never thought it could be this good. I never thought I could have this kind of energy. I never thought I could hold up this good at this age, and I work in a business like you where I'm around, 30-year-old women all the time, and they're all beautiful and perfect. I never feel insecure. I always feel like I'm holding my own, like I've got my edge, I've got my juice, and I got something they don't have. I have wisdom now. And the reason I have wisdom is I'm not all pilled up on drugs. I don't take any pharmaceutical drugs at all. And if you keep yourself hormonally balanced, you don't need sleeping pills.
Yeah.
You don't need antidepressants. You don't need cholesterol lowering. You don't need any of that crap. And I think They now have extended life to 90, 100, they say 110 or older, and people go, oh, I don't want to live that long, I think. If you got there and your brain was still working, great, yeah. You had wisdom and perspective and your bones were strong and you still, you know, had your edge, you'd want to be there.
Yes.
See how it all turned out.
We're almost out of time, but I'm going to do two things. I'm actually going to read I'm Too Young for This, your new book, because it sounds fascinating and I need it. And number two, I'm going to make you a new jingle that says, don't come knock on our door. We're having sex. Love you, Suzanne Summers. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Wow.
9 years. 9 years of this show makes me feel like 110.
There you go. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Kathleen Madigan on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I feel better already. I've been paging through Suzanne Summers' new book. Why, here it is.
She is so likable.
Right?
I get lost because she keeps talking.
I know.
A lot.
I know.
But she's so likable. I could see myself just being on an airplane looking at you going, no, I'm going to South Korea with Suzanne to a health spa. Yeah. No, I mean, I still have nicotine patches on my back, but whatever.
Whatever.
She knows the secret. I believed it.
Yeah. Me too.
She seems very happy.
60 pills seems like a lot, though.
That's a lot of toast to eat to settle your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of watching another toast-related news, firefighters helped man remove a penis from a toaster. Again, a London man called the London Fire Brigade to report
hello.
His penis.
I seem to have cut my naughty bits in the toaster. I don't know how it happened, really.
Again, 911 calls, you would give anything to hear. I'm sorry, what now? You put your what where?
Got my naughty bits in the toaster. And unfortunately, it was plugged in at the time.
Right. So, and how'd that go for you? How's that feeling now?
My bangers and mash are all right. Well, the banger not so much. It's toasted.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, Pat Robertson has some health tips for all y'all as well.
I bet he does.
American TV evangelist Pat Robertson slams low carb diets for violating God's principles.
What?
Yet another reason you're going to hell, Chris. Muscle man.
I eat tons of carbs. Are you kidding me?
Oh, do you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were one of those no carb muscle guys.
No.
It makes Travis cry when I bring carbs in.
I know.
Carbs make the baby Jesus cry.
Right. He said you get swollen joints, you get gout, you get all kinds of problems where you ache like crazy. Everyone thought Atkins was wonderful. They've got all these scientific tests, but the carbs are the fire that burn everything completely. Sooner or later, it violates the principles that God set down.
Huh?
What?
God apparently talked a lot about carbs, and we might have missed it.
That's because we're Catholic and we didn't really read the Bible.
Eat bread and potato chips.
Yeah, right.
And mashed potatoes.
Right. Right. Okay. Wow. All right. Let's go
and
to
a manna. I'm not sure what that is, but you should eat it.
That sounds carby, though.
A manna's total carbs.
Right?
Yeah.
Danette in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Kathleen Madigan. Hello, Danette.
Hello. I love Kathleen Madigan.
Right?
And I'm sorry that people are just doofuses. They do not understand what a comedy lady does. They just don't get it.
Comedy thinker lady.
She's a comedy thinker lady. I don't understand. So I've been hearing the news report that the president and the Democrats are ready to strike a deal for a temporary debt limit increase. And I'm thinking, when have the Republicans shown themselves trustworthy to follow any kind of plan? So I called the White House, and the line is off because of the government shutdown. How can leaders get in touch with the president? That's probably why he didn't go to Asia, because the phone has been disconnected.
Wow.
Over at the White House. Isn't that crazy?
I tell you one reason why this headline, government shutdown blamed on Republicans, according to a new poll. I mean, you know, boner's cracking. You can tell. He's got to try to do something, and I don't know, but I agree with you, Jim. I think we just got to stand firm. You got to stand firm.
Yeah.
Because it just.
Why won't the president negotiate?
because it's already a law.
Right. Thomas Friedman wrote a great piece in the New York Times, U.S. Fringe Festival. See, we've done Edinburgh. This is not that kind of, this is a right-wing lunatic fringe festival.
Well, maybe they need a comedy lady.
They need a thinker lady like you for sure.
Yeah, I could do my act, make it think about it seriously, which you're not supposed to do. But I would do it just to see if they would do it.
He writes, if he got Obama to give in one iota on Obamacare, Ted Cruz and his Tea Party allies would be calling the shots, and Boehner would become that very rare bird, a spino, speaker in name only. In the long run, because this fringe would be dictating the party line, Republicans would stand zero chance of winning the White House in 2016. If they trigger a U.S. government default, disruption in Social Security payments, economic turmoil, and a majority of voters blame Republicans, as polls are showing they are right now, that could overwhelm the GOP's gerrymandered House advantage. They're saying if it were held today, we would take back the House. Democrats would take back the House. Can we hold it today? Is there a way that could happen? No.
No.
Did you know what we always say about those polls? If my aunt had a... She'd be my uncle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On the whole, if the election were held today.
Sure.
Because it never is held on the day those polls are taken. Just saying. Okay. He says, in other words, the only thing standing between mainstream Republicans and a hellish future of kowtowing to Ted Cruz, never seeing the inside of the White House, and possibly losing the House, is President Obama's refusal to give in to shut down blackmail that Cruz and company have cooked up. President Obama is leading. He's protecting the very rules that are the foundation of any healthy democracy. He is leading by not giving in to this blackmail, because if he did, it would undermine the principle of majority rule that is the bedrock of our democracy. And the president made that point, that this creates a precedent for every other president, including a Republican one.
Well, do we need to have a meeting about when is a law a law?
Right. Clearly. We need to have a national go-to meeting.
Yeah.
Type Stephanie in the box.
We have to have a law about when a law is a law.
Right.
Because clearly nobody seems to understand.
Right. You don't have conversations about things that are already a law.
Yes.
That's done now.
Right.
Right.
When you were passing the law, that was the time to have conversations.
Or when it was at the Supreme Court.
Missed the boat.
Or when there was an election, and you could say, I'm going to vote for the guy that says he's going to repeal this, that would have been the time. He says that the majority, he said a minority of a minority which has lost every democratic means to secure its agenda has no right to now threaten to tank our economy if its demands are not met.
And the global economy.
Right. If we do not preserve this system, nothing will ever be settled again in American politics. That would be there would be nothing to prevent a future Democratic Congress from using the exact same blackmail to try to overturn a law enacted by their Republican rivals. And the reason why they don't care about that is because they're such hypocrites. When that would happen, they would absolutely deny this ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
They would be like, what? No.
No, that never
happened.
We don't.
I don't.
Ever.
Yeah.
By the way, if your aunt did have a... Mm-hmm. She's probably taking the wrong hormones.
Right.
She reads the same book.
Yeah, thank you. The reason so
she mixed up her estrogen and her testosterone.
Yeah.
Well, the creams all look the same in the morning. When
they
you
do.
Can't,
right? They're all white.
And if you can't see well, just a white jar.
Right. No. Right.
And who can see well when you first wake up?
Exactly. If you don't have your contacts in,
you're all blinky.
Glasses on.
Blinky, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Friedman finishes, the reason so many mainstream Republican lawmakers want Obama to give something to Cruz and companies, they want to get out of this mess. But they're all afraid to stand up to the far-right fringe themselves with his bullying network of barking talk show hosts and money men. But Obama shouldn't take them off the hook. Only Republicans can delegitimize the nihilistic madness at the base of their party. And he said, I think Boehner underestimates how many mainstream Republicans feel their party is being stolen from them by the radicals. And he just says, basically, without a healthy opposition party, our two-party system doesn't work, and neither does the country. And that's where we get irritated. The mainstream media needs to stop saying it's both sides. No, one party is broken.
And I don't understand how these are the old-school Republicans, like the Newt Gingriches and stuff, can sit around and watch the Ted Cruzes and nobody's stepping up to say,
right.
Apparently behind the scenes they are. They're very upset with Ted Cruz, but not in the front to go.
Somebody's going to call BS.
Yes.
Guys.
Yes.
Somebody that there has to be an old school, normal Republican that says no.
Right. What does Bob Dole think?
Bob Dole thinks Ted Cruz is Nimrod.
Exactly. Mike.
Go back to Cuba or Canada, wherever he's from.
Mike in Chicago, you're on with Kathleen. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Kathleen. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
So I just turned on Glenn Beck. Oh, this is awesome. He's having a meltdown moment again. Why isn't anyone listening to me? And he says Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are the only true patriots. And he claims dibs on the top bunk in the internment camp. That's what he says.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, this is the best thing that could possibly happen, is have Glenn Beck go after the Republicans. He's just so throwing Tedgar Cornyn under the bus. He's throwing everyone, Mitch McConnell, under the bus, and just having a meltdown moment right now.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's so unusual. For
I didn't know he was still on television.
It's.
I mean, is it like one of those cameras that's just in his house and he
right.
doesn't know it?
Right.
Like
it's
one of those type
He's on
deals.
Skype.
Yeah.
It's like a web channel that you can also get on like your Roku box, you know, and watch it on TV there.
Right. Is that like a bento box?
No.
That's a Roku box.
It's like an Apple TV.
Oh.
Yeah. Where you hook it up and you go to a bunch.
It's like when I think I'm FaceTiming, but I'm not really.
Exactly.
Because I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay. Either. Jeff in Indiana. You're on with Kathleen. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie. Thank you for taking my call. Yes. Kathleen, you and Lewis help make life worth living, so thank you for what you do.
Oh, wait till you tell them
that make life worth living.
you really do. My life must suck. I am a micro-business owner in Indiana. My health insurance...
A micro-business? What's a
micro-business?
Is that even smaller than a small business owner?
It's a tiny, tiny, tiny business.
It's a teeny, tiny business.
Teeny, tiny, itty-bitty business. We have two employees.
Like a microbrewery? What sort of microbrewery?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. A microbrewery without all the fun.
Okay.
We have two employees, and our health insurance premiums every month are about $1,700. That is the entry fee. That's the cover fee to get into the club. I can't go to the doctor because all of my money is going to pay the cover fee. And I've got health issues. Everybody's got health issues that I can't attend to because of these, exorbitant prices that I have to pay each month. My hope and wish with Obamacare is that I am going to be, able to afford reasonable insurance. My daughter has type 1 diabetes, so she's on my insurance and, raises the price up. I also have something in common with Ted Cruz. We're both Canadian. I don't deny it. He does.
Problem solved. Go get that single payer.
Exactly. That's one of the things that, I came down
here. Okay, Jeff, have you been on the exchange yet? Have you looked on the exchange in Indiana?
I have tried to get onto the exchange 18 times every day. It's very difficult to get on, so I finally called. They're sending me an application by mail, so
right, well,
I'm hoping that I can go through there. So it's great.
All right, well, good. I wish you well, because I think that, again, as Eugene Robinson wrote, when these glitches get worked out, and you got to remember, you have till when is it, Chris? I can't remember, like March, I think.
Yeah.
It just started.
Right.
It's like, and the fact that that many people wanted to get it right away on the first day, as Jim was saying, is a huge thing. It's... Mm-hmm.
It's a big effing deal.
Right, as Joe Biden would say. Right. 17 minutes after the hour. Oh, Boner speaking live soon. Very, very exciting.
That's
big,
great.
Empty orange head on our TV just in time for Halloween. All right. Right back. I'm with Kathleen Madigan on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Shake my what now?
Yeah, yeah. Do it 22 minutes after the hour. Kathleen Madigan live in studio. John Boner getting ready to speak live.
Oh, can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
What's that sound I hear backstage? Okay.
I just need a little more courage, but it's not.
Could it be if you just read this headline? Obama's approval rating is climbing and the GOP's numbers are plunging. This is Rasmussen. That's a right-wing pollster.
Yeah, they're kind of right-wing.
Now has Obama at a 50% approval rating. Gallup has the Republican Party is now viewed favorably by 28% of Americans. Down from 38% in September. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Wow. Wow, wow. Okay, let's go to Robert in Pasadena. You're on with Kathleen. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, I'm wondering first of all, the president's doing a great job. He's out there every single day making his case, and I think it's starting to show in the polls. But look, when is somebody going to call BS on this whole idea that the deficit and the debt is going to bankrupt our country, you know? We hear a lot of these right-wingers talking about how the government should operate as a business. Well, many businesses, just like almost every household, operates with debt. And as long as you can manage your debt, pay your bills on time, you're just fine. Now, there's a way that if our country was in a bad place, that you know, our creditors, our rating agencies would cease to loan us money. That isn't the case at all. So this whole nonsense about these things being unmanageable and bad for the country are nothing more than a big Republican lie.
Yeah, well, it's that. By the way, great piece in the New York Times, Why the Debt Ceiling Matters. You know, you don't need to be an economist or even a thinker lady.
Comedy thinker lady
like Kathleen Madigan to know this is, there's no hyperbole that would probably describe, but, you know, catastrophe, they're saying, Nocera writes in the New York Times, the word we keep hearing is catastrophe, financial Armageddon, fill in your own hyperbole here.
They're never going to let it happen because it's their money too.
Yes.
Everybody needs
Thank
to
you.
Always remember that. If their money means more to them than anything, yeah. and they're not, it's not going to happen.
That's why the Koch brothers are getting a little.
They're getting a little nervous.
Fancy.
The horses are getting nervous.
Maybe we shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, exactly. Kathleen, I'm surprised that you were not a common thinker lady that you are. You were not invited to the Dick Cheney roast.
I didn't know they were roasting Dick Cheney.
Yes.
See,
yes.
I wasn't even informed it was a roast that I wasn't invited to. Where did they do that?
The biggest joke? Waterboarding. Because what's funnier than torture? Can I have some comedy music, Chris? Conservatives gathered at the Plaza Hotel in Manhattan on Monday to roast the former vice president. Donald Rumsfeld, the noted comedy thinker,
Nine
guys.
Stars
Donald
and garters.
Rumsfeld and what's
Jiminy
his name?
Oh, Christmas.
Drew a mix of chuckles and winces with jokes that left few lines uncrossed. Former Senator Joe Lieberman said something to the effect that it's nice we're all here at the Plaza instead of in cages at some war crimes trial. Where's my laugh track? Well, that's funny because it's true. You know, all good humor.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah. It's funny. President Obama was mocked repeatedly for the relative strength of Vladimir Putin, who they're all, you know, he's a big right-wing media star now. Vladimir Putin's a hero. So manly.
Former head of the KGB in East Germany
right.
is now a right-wing icon.
The event
wow.
sponsored by Rupert Murdoch. Scooter Libby was there, who also,
wow,
should be in the hole. And then one guest said there were some waterboarding jokes that were really tasteless. Cheney himself told a waterboarding joke. Isn't that funny?
Wow.
Oh, which he said he attributed to your friend Jay Leno. It centered on a antelope hunting contest in Wyoming in which the loser had to dance with an Indian squaw. That
which
seems
is
vaguely,
a derogatory term.
That seems vaguely racist.
Yeah.
Cheney's shot got caught in the barrel, producing a dispute whether it counted as a hit or a miss. And Leno, according to Cheney, joked that Cheney wanted to go catch the animal with his bare hands and waterboard it. Rumsfeld also joked about Cheney waterboarding fish. Other jokes touched on Cheney having shot a friend in the face, because what's funny?
Yes, hilarious.
Libby, for his part, made light of his imprisonment and lack of a presidential pardon. Oh, my gosh. Leaking an undercover CIA agent's name and maybe getting a bunch of people killed.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And then what's happening now makes you wish for the nostalgic for the... Oh, he's speaking.
He's
here
up.
We go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's go.
These conversations begin.
Oh, conversation. Oh, is that it? He's
gone?
Here comes
the American people expect both sides to sit down and work out their differences when you're operating in divided government.
Uh-huh.
So I'm pleased today that we've had an invitation from the White House to actually begin to do that. And, you know, we have seen now for 10 days a government shutdown. It's not what we asked for.
Yes, it is.
It is what was the result of the two parties not being able to sit down and talk.
Both sides do it.
And there is very little time left. Mm-hmm. We cannot waste any more time. What we have discussed...
President is so lazy.
...is a temporary extension of the debt ceiling in exchange for a real commitment... by this president and the Senate majority leader to sit down and talk about
everything.
The pressing problems that are facing all the American people.
Oh,
and that includes
a cross-eyed Virginia Fox
of
behind
issues.
Him.
And we look forward to that happening. If you look throughout history, presidents who have governed in a divided government have all sat down and talked with the other side. Uh-huh. It's about time this is happening.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has actually never happened before.
I'm very hopeful for today.
Oh,
this
Kevin
is
McCarthy.
Something that Republicans have been waiting for quite some time for.
Oh.
We never wanted to shut down.
You're
That's
so
why
patient.
Our very last bill said,
Come
let's
on.
Go to conference. So that door has always been open. and we're thankful that the president is willing to talk today. We're coming there with an idea of working together. Mm. We're coming there to find common ground.
That's right.
To find common ground that will deal with these economic drivers that harm the economy.
Like Obamacare.
The drivers that continue to add debt.
Obamacare.
Right.
So when we make an offer today for a temporary extension, we're looking for a structure that puts us on a path to get a budget, to take care of the debt, and move this economy in a stronger position and have all American win.
I call Bull. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Bob Seska and Kathleen Madigan on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kathleen Madigan, live in studio with us. You can see her pretty much everywhere.
Yep.
Tonight Show, Letterman. Did you ever do Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, by the way?
No. 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 By the time I tried out for it, he was already done.
He was done, yeah.
Yeah. So, wow, I know. What are you going to do?
This was, because I just saw, I don't know if you saw this story, the night Johnny Carson found out his wife was banging Frank Gifford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this is awesome. Johnny Carson's lawyer has written a book. He describes accompanying Carson on a late-night break-in of his second wife's apartment, an apartment she had leased without Carson's knowledge. I had reason to believe my wife is cheating on me, Carson told his lawyer. I also have an idea who the son of a bitch is that she's shacking up with. It was Frank Gifford.
Really?
Flight attendant enthusiast.
What?
Yes. Later that night, Carson phoned his lawyer at 2 a.m. and demanded that they come meet him at a nearby bar. Ed McMahon was also there.
Yeah.
Which is shocking. No shock.
Hello!
You didn't really have to ask him twice. Yes!
Yes! I actually,
yes! The answer is yes, sir!
I actually read this article in Entertainment Weekly, and the lawyer got there, sat down with Johnny Carson at the table, and then Ed comes stumbling out of the restroom holding on to chairs left and right.
Yeah. You're correct, sir! I'm screwing around! Yes!
Yes, he said, and Carson said, I get drunk every night and I chase all the I can get. I'm in the marriage department. So much Carson, apparently.
Huh.
That was part of the bar.
Wow.
It was so cold.
How cold was it?
It was so cold, I can't.
All right. Okay, he did do a joke. He said, why Frank Gifford? What's that hole got that I don't have? That guy plays three positions on the field. I can never get Joanne to go for more than two.
That was funny.
Those were the good old days, though, when we didn't know anything about celebrities.
Right.
I preferred that.
Right.
Liberace married a lady today. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
Whatever.
Well,
don't
good
care.
Luck to them. Good luck to them.
Yeah, let's see their wedding photographs.
Do they need
That's
a blender?
Spectacular. Exactly.
This casket is moisture-proof and waterproof.
Okay. All right. Good night. Sleep tight, baby boy.
Hi, baby boy.
All right, we just had the boner talk, and Bob Seska, who is helpful, managing editor of the Daily Banter, he wrote a piece in which I explained the debt ceiling and financial apocalypse to Rand Paul and Sarah Palin.
Just talk
he joins
slowly.
Us now. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Stephanie. Sorry I'm late. I was checking the poll numbers, and I'm happy to confirm today that you're way, way more popular than hemorrhoids and dog poop.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Seska. I appreciate that. Now, did you just see the Boner press conference?
My God, no. He had a press conference? Really?
Yes,
did he
yes.
cry?
No, which I know was surprising. But so they're doing a temporary increase in the debt ceiling?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right, right. So we can do this all over again in 6 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, but they're going to try to keep the government shut down while we still go through this hostage crisis, right?
Yeah. You know, it's frustrating because we just, I feel like we just broke through the barrier of the recession. I feel like everyone's getting back on their feet. Everyone's doing better. The economy is improving. Housing is improving. We finally have health care. My God. And
yeah.
Suddenly they're playing games with all of this. And it's so aggravating and infuriating. And there's really nothing we can do for another year.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, you were just fact-checking Rand Paul and Sarah Palin, which could take a while
wow.
in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But you said that Rand Paul tweeted the solution to the debt ceiling crisis is for the U.S. to cut up the credit card and balance our budget.
Yeah, which is absolutely right. ridiculous. I don't know what that means. I mean, he's talking about balancing the budget, which I assume refers to the deficit, which, you know, he is kind of referencing this notion that goes back to the 2012 campaign that the president has somehow doubled the deficit, which is absurd. He's
right.
actually cut it in half. In fact, less than or more than half. It's down to, I think, $652 billion at the end of this year, down from $1.4 trillion.
It's
astonishing.
It's been balanced, as you said, more rapidly than any time in modern history. You were quoting someone that said for the first time since the Korean War, total federal spending has gone down for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and actually a Republican congressman observed that. So, I mean, I'm not pulling this out of the Obama bot, you know, goodie bag. This is actually something that Republicans have confirmed.
Yeah, and then Sarah Palin tweeted, which is always fun. She tweeted, POTUS is basically saying, yes, we're bankrupt, but unless I get a blank check to keep the debt going, I shall not engage the American people.
Yeah, I'm always amazed when Sarah Palin tweets something, which actually means she has opposable thumbs. I
right,
didn't know if
right.
she really had that. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole notion that we're bankrupt is absolutely false. I mean, every time, it's so funny with PolitiFact, every time, and bless them, they try to bat this one down every time. But every time it happens, it gets a big, fat false. It's not always a pants on fire, but it's damn close. We're nowhere close to being bankrupt. To be bankrupt, we have to have a failing economy, no corporate profitability, no productivity whatsoever, and no tax receipts, a declining credit rating and huge deficits and so on. But that's not the case. I mean, in fact, the United States remains sort of the gold standard for the world economy. I mean, the treasury bills make everything go around. And until that dissipates, we're still, you know, a huge economy for the world. We're keeping everything afloat. And in fact, by doing all of this brinksmanship with the debt ceiling and so on, the Republicans are actually creating a self-fulfilling prophecy where if they don't allow the debt ceiling to be raised, then we go bankrupt. So they're actually creating the bankruptcy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about the CBS reports we would run out of money by October 20th. At that point, the great collapse would begin. Lawsuits by thousands against the government from unpaid contractors would pile up. The dollar would collapse. Social Security checks would go unpaid. Right, and then so you say they would have created exactly what they're saying the president has done, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, that kind of changes if John Boehner, you know, lives up to his word and actually extends or actually raises the debt ceiling. But I mean, again, this is going to keep happening
right.
and happening and happening. This is something that has never happened in the history of the United States. No party has ever held the debt ceiling hostage. But they keep lying about that too, where
right.
they're saying that, oh yeah, it happened under Clinton and it happened under Reagan. It's never been that case. It's always been kind of a sweetener for some other budget deal. It's like, okay, you know what? If you give us this, I'll give you that. We'll do this other thing. And oh, by the way, we'll just throw in the debt ceiling. And that's how it always works. But not now. Not now. This has been a complete mess.
Well, and you know, I think, again, you can't sort of, you know, the hyperbole, you actually state the truth here when you really think about it. If we did this, you say it would be the worst economic disaster of our time, perhaps in the entire history of the U.S. It would be a meltdown which two wars, Osama bin Laden, Vietnam, Watergate, and several presidential assassinations have failed to manifest.
Yeah, and that's not just me. I mean, I think Bloomberg went to dozens and dozens of experts who all confirmed that if the debt ceiling isn't raised, every stock market around the world would collapse. $5 trillion in lending would dry up. Interest rates would explode. I mean, the dollar would be completely abandoned. I mean, dogs and cats sleeping together,
right.
Mass
yes.
hysteria.
Exactly, exactly. But, I mean, the ironic thing is you say, ironically, it would have happened at a time when the U.S. economy was gaining strength, while deficits were declining, and while 30 million Americans are on the verge of attaining affordable health insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the incredible thing. Like, as you say, no scandal, no war, no terrorism, yeah. no nothing. We would have done it to ourselves.
Well, that's what's infuriating. I mean, I feel like me personally, you know, I was kind of the recession kind of kicked my ass. And I feel like just now, and there are millions of others just like me who just now feel like they're getting ahead of things. And to do this is just, I'm staggered by the irresponsibility of it. And it, again, much like healthcare, and using Obamacare as kind of this pawn in this entire negotiation. It's so personal for so many people, whether it's, you know, recovering from the recession or actually finally being able to buy health care. And the Republicans want to mess with that. They want to hold that hostage and kind of destroy all of that progress. And I don't understand it. And this goes far beyond some other issues that may not have that personal impact. But these two issues, the status of the economy and the status of health care, are tremendously personal for so many people. I mean, millions and millions of Americans.
Yeah. Bob, so now what? Obviously, with this latest news this morning, now how does this play out? Somehow they think that, okay, well, you know, we're going to raise the debt ceiling to keep the government shut down until we
yeah.
get a hostage demand met. Now where does this go, do you think?
Well, I mean, the longer the shutdown continues, the more pain is going to be felt from that. I mean, once you get into November, people's bills are going to be going unpaid. There's going to be, you know, personal defaults on personal debt because, you know, hundreds of thousands of government employees won't be able to pay their bills. And that's when it starts to get really bad. Then you have a dysfunctional government. You know, the irony to me is the most dysfunctional part of the government is actually still operating, the United States Congress. Mm-hmm. And everything else is closed. And then everything else tends to work pretty well. But, I mean, once we get into November, it's going to be really, really bad. And you know, the fact is that I think the world is going to lose patience with the constant brinksmanship on the debt ceiling, even if they do extend it by another 6 weeks. I think, you know, even China is starting to go, what's going on over there? It's kindergarten. What are you doing? You're, mm-hmm. you know, and so I think there's going to be less and less patience for all of these games, regardless of whether they raise the ceiling.
Yep, exactly. Well, Bob, thanks for keeping us up to date on all this, and we will talk to you, I'm sure, next week.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, sir. There he goes. There's only one thing to do now, Kathleen, and that is Drunk Dial Congress. There's a website with the...
Yeah. You can really do it?
Right. Give me some music. This is... and they've even given some talking points. They urge you to have a drink. Call your congressman.
Huh. Let's do it.
Yeah. Talking points. If you can yell at a park ranger after forcing the government to shut down, I get to yell at you. You guys think you're the same as the heroes of 9/11. Get a grip. You jerks are costing the country $12 million bucks per hour. You had one job to do and you failed. Another one, I can't watch the panda. Get that panda cams off.
Panda cam is down from the National Zoo because of...
Yeah, there yeah. you go. Drunk Dial Congress. All right, 46 minutes.
I'm off tonight. I'm doing it all night.
All right.
You know what, though? The San Diego Zoo has a panda cam, too. So
I want the real panda. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with Kathleen Madigan on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. All right. Believing in thinker lady Kathleen Madigan, here's what you can do. You can, Madigan again. That is your third hour-long special, young lady. It will be. Is it going to be released soon on CD and audio download? I'm told it premiered September 11th on Netflix, where you didn't even have to have a meeting.
No meetings.
No. Yeah, and it will be released on DVD and video download on November 26th.
There you go. I didn't even know that.
Well, see, that's why you come here, so I can tell you things about you.
Yeah.
David Plouffe with a great tweet. Congressional approval rating now at 5%, lowest ever, beneath Ebola virus, Somali pirates, and athlete's foot. Project GOP rebrand going swimmingly. Yeah, how's that rebrand going for you? Hey, you know where we should go to sell stuff to TV, not just Netflix? How about Norway? Norway TV to broadcast 5 hours of knitting.
What?
Right?
Really?
Right. Yeah. Norway's public broadcasting network, 5 hours of airtime to attempt the to break the world knitting record.
Oof. Wow. That's what happens when it's too cold.
Well, we got the Yule log.
Lutefisk was bad.
But yeah, we have the Yule log here. We do broadcast the Yule log in New York. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Here, too.
Pardon me?
They broadcast it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. Well, you know, it may be a bad day, what with what's going on in the government. However, at least you are not Tom Hanks and your co-stars are not vomiting all over you.
Yeah.
You know, he was filming the Somali pirate
movie,
right? Yeah. Captain Phillips and the three actors playing pirates barfed.
Well, if you see the boat,
on him,
yeah.
Right.
If you see the boat, it's like
right,
yeah, rolling around in the yeah.
They didn't give everybody Dramamine. I mean, anybody that's
they didn't
on a
film
cruise.
It on a set.
Yeah, exactly. Do they really have to be in
green
the boat
screen?
Yeah,
whoa.
Exactly. They can. I mean, if they can film Sandra Bullock in space and make it look real, they can film Tom Hanks in a boat and make it look real.
Well, they filmed Tom Hanks in space in Apollo 13.
They did.
And he just revealed he has type 2 diabetes. That's really? A bad day. You have
yeah.
diabetes and you get
barfed
on.
And,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't barf.
No.
Maybe he took his Dramamine. Like
Sue
you're supposed to.
Sue
it was written in his contract. The Somali pirate people didn't have it in their contract.
I guess not.
Mm. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Kathleen.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, and Kathleen. I always try to call when you're there because I love you and you're fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
And listen, I just have proof that the Republicans have learned nothing in 10 years. In 10 years ago, Cheney and Bush, they wage war on Iraq. They have no exit strategy. You flash forward, now the GOP wages war on America, and they have no exit strategy.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
They remind me of these two little girls in my preschool many years ago. They had decided to have a play date, and they figured out at 3 o'clock when there was the transition time, they would leave to go on their play date. And they did. They snuck out of the classroom, and they got to the parking lot, and then they didn't know what to do.
Right.
They had nowhere. There was no car. There was no one there. And they just stood in the parking lot crying until a parent drove up and said, "What are you girls doing out here?"
That's
and
exactly
like
John Boner. Exactly like. John Boner's parents
don't
come pick him up.
Boner, pick me up.
Let's go. Mike and Charlotte, you're on with Kathleen. Hello, Mike. Hi, Mike. Oh,
yeah, hello.
Oh, hi, oh, yes, hi, okay.
I didn't know you didn't say Mike and Charlotte. I was
yes.
like waiting for Mike and Charlotte.
No,
like, whatever, I got it screwed up. Anyway, I had two questions. One, I've been trying to find information about the debt ceiling, and I keep hearing people say, and of course the tea babies always bring this up all the time about, you know, well, why are we raising the debt limit or the debt ceiling if the deficit is going down? And I'm kind of confused about that point. If the deficit is going down, which I keep hearing from people saying, then why do we have to raise the debt ceiling? So that's one question. The other
Wait,
part of this
what?
Was that
the debt sorry? Ceiling. It's not, what do you mean, is it going down? There's a debt ceiling just means paying
the bills.
Not the
debt ceiling going down, but the deficit is going.
Right.
Right.
I keep hearing the deficit's
yes.
going down.
Yes, by half. It's gone down
yep.
by half. So, okay.
The debt ceiling is your credit limit that you
right.
use to pay back.
Right.
Well, we've already bought things.
Once again, mm-hmm. right.
On, the,
once
on that
again,
credit card, if you will. And you, we.
The global financial system is not like your household. Who was it, Jim? I can't remember which congressman. Some bills we just don't pay. You get one, and, you know, you can put some off a little bit. And... Dear God in heaven. Kathleen Madigan, where are you on twerking? I need to...
Not interested. Too much activity.
Yeah,
I don't
too much.
No. I watched Miley do it. I just wonder if Miley Cyrus ever wonders, why does Adele just stand there and sing?
Because she
and
can
she's
sing.
She's being showered right. with Grammys.
Yeah. Keeps her tongue in her mouth.
I am out here working it, and it's not. I'm not getting any prizes.
Perhaps you're working too hard.
You are.
Yeah.
Bring it down a level.
Annie Lennox says she's disturbed and dismayed by young performers, not having sweet dreams about them, apparently.
Yeah.
She said, she's record comers are peddling highly styled pornography with musical accomplishment just days after Sinead O'Connor got into a...
Yeah, I read all of Sinead's letters.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that started out fine.
Right.
But then it just
awry.
Got really, got really crazy.
Well, here's a little something rebellious kids don't want. Unsolicited advice. Might want to think about that before you pen another scribe to this girl.
Yes.
I mean, I'd send it to her agent.
Yes,
if you're
absolutely.
Send it. Right. Maybe there's somebody sane in the group. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand. I don't care what the girl does, but if you take off all your clothes at 21, what is left to do at 41? Put them back on? She, like, Madonna unrolled this whole thing slowly. If you're going to have a crazy rollout, time it.
Yes.
If you must do this.
There you go.
Time
there you
it.
Go. Kathleen Madigan, you are delightful.
I'm a thinker.
Thinker
lady.
Look at me.
Thinker lady.
Thank you for coming in. Don't forget, big sexy liberal announcement right off the top of the show tomorrow. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.